News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, gonna do something here that I enjoy the folks that I work with. I mean, we got cool people working Right Side Radio stuff, and the two coolest we have right now, by the way, are Copper, who runs the board and does all what I call the in-house work, keeps the trains running on time. And then you guys keep hearing me talk about Birdman. So Birdman, I like to say Copper works the in-house and Birdman works in the outhouse. So, but Birdman does all of our tech stuff. He handles the podcasting, the uploading of all the data, modifications to the website, making sure the ads are on the website correctly, and, you know, uploading anything that Copper and I have written. And I'm just saying, he keeps that side of things going. He's the one that got the Right Side store set up. So anyway, Copper and Birdman are not just... they're not just good at what they do for the show. They have their own opinions. I like hearing them. So I think I've got them both on the line. I know, Copper, you got the mic. Grab your mic. You good to go, right?
Hello, over here. Indeed.
Hello, Miss Copper. Okay, so Logan had to call in today on the phone. Logan, are you there? Birdman, are you there?
I'm here. We'll see what happens.
Don't say that. This is you're the tech guy. You can't have tech problems. You're the tech guy.
Fair enough. I can't fight the internet on this one, I'm afraid.
That's true. You don't own the internet. It owns you sometimes. All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Listen, here's the thing. I spent some time here talking about the Cold War, and I know that both of you guys grew up in the post-Cold War era. I mean, 1991 is when the Soviet Union fell. The true Cold War diminished soon thereafter. But... You know, you have the stories about Reagan saying, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall," and suddenly it was just Berlin, not East and West Berlin. I'm just curious, though, what is your perspective about today? Do you see the situation in Ukraine, you personally, and for that matter, have you talked to any of your peers? What do folks in your generation say about what's happening right now? Do you see it as a big deal? And just, I mean, tell me if you do or don't. Copper, I'll let you go first.
Sure. I certainly find it troubling, and almost more troubling that my generation, from my perspective, seems to be a little checked out on it. I find it a little more troubling the internal issues we have, because I know that'll affect how we respond to external problems. And when I polled some of my peers, some of my friends and family, there was some variety going from, "I don't care, I'm totally spaced out about it," to one of my brothers said that actually he's been really upset about it and he's been praying a lot about it with people at his church and that it's the biggest news story he's following.
Wow. Okay. All right. That's a very cool perspective. So I guess on a scale of 1 to 10, Copper, for you, how in terms of, and not just everything, I mean everything, like I know we got internal issues, we got, you know, domestic issues, we got foreign policy issues, we got energy issues, whatever the case may be. On a scale of 1 to 10, where is this thing?
6.
For you. 6. Okay. Yeah. All right. There's that. Birdman, what you think? You're on the hook here for what your thoughts are.
Well, I went through some of my closest friends and asked them, you know, what they're thinking about it. And, honestly, it surprised me how many of my peers, my generation, seem to be very removed from the situation. With respect, I even had one person tell me that they don't know anything about it, and all they think about it is just that Russia's bad. And that was about it. Now, I did get a couple of responses that were very well put together. People genuinely concerned. And talking about how, you know, their whole views, I mean, some of them had a full breakdown. And the biggest thing is it just surprises me how few people in my generation are aware of the situation on any level.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of expected that to some degree, because it just depends on what their news source is, if they news at all. And by the way, there's people that are 60 and 70 years old right now that don't even know this is happening. So I don't think that's just like a symptom of your generation, but y'all didn't grow up seeing the era of the Cold War. Y'all weren't there for things like bomb threats, where you had to practice what happens if a nuclear device went off and get under your desk at school. Like, that was really going to help. Was there a time when y'all were coming up to school, did y'all study the Cold War era as a part of modern history?
Sure.
Copper? What, yeah. So you did?
We did study it, but again, it didn't have the same emotional impact. I think I had to realize that there was such a big emotional impact by watching TV, where, okay, you know, there were so many nuclear stories, apocalyptic stories, and that's what made me realize the real significance of it.
Yeah, yeah. Birdman, what do you think?
Yeah, I second that. I didn't have any real understanding of it. You know, it's different from reading it in a book or having your history teacher tell you about it and, you know, actually experiencing it. And I, like Copper said, I didn't really start to grasp any of it until I started to research it on my own to a greater depth or see stuff on TV or in some sort of media. But no, it really didn't connect to me until I started diving a little deeper than what school had to offer.
I can remember. So here's kind of the way it was for me. I can remember when we lived in England. I mentioned earlier that we were stationed. My dad was in the Army. We were stationed in England. He was the U.S. liaison to the British Army for training. And he didn't work on a base. We didn't have Army bases over there, but there were Navy and Air Force bases. But for whatever reason, his office was in downtown London. And he had to wear a civilian suit to work every day for security reasons, because they did not want to run the risk of the Cold War era of spies and hit jobs and all that kind of stuff on an American officer in uniform walking through downtown London. So he had to wear a suit and tie every day. And that's just, that was just part of, you know, our history. All right, so let me ask you this. You guys seeing this now, I didn't ask, so it's a 6 on a scale of 10 to you, Copper. What was it on a scale of 1 to 10 to you, Logan?
I'm leaning towards 7 or 8, for me personally.
Okay. Speak of it then, rank it where you think your generation sees it. Logan, 1 to 10, your generation, what do you think?
Ooh, I wouldn't give it more than a 4 or 5. All the people I've talked to, not more than a 4 or 5.
What do you think, Copper?
Yeah, I'd agree with
4 or 5.
Yeah.
All right. I would have anticipated. So here's my next question on it. Watching this from afar, you know, not having seen a world of Russian aggression like you're seeing now for the first time. And by the way, this is actually, I'll say this. This is the largest scale conventional troop movement in your lifetime, to my knowledge. You guys were both born, I guess, post-Desert Storm, weren't you? Or were you? Yeah, that would have been right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so Desert Storm would have been the last major troop buildup for a conventional invasion. This is the biggest one since then. So in your lifetime, do you see this as something that should involve U.S. troops or not? I'll go to you first, Birdman.
I've been wrestling with this, to be completely blunt with you. I have been trying to figure out where I stand on this particular aspect, because I understand the fact that, you know, the allies, I understand where that comes into play, and I, you know, we've made promises and all that kind of thing, and me personally, I'm not one to turn away from something like that. That on that same token, from a, you know, from a different perspective, I would hope that if it can be done, we wouldn't have to send our troops over there for a myriad of reasons. But me personally, with my knowledge of the situation, I'm not comfortable with the idea of our guys on that front. This is me personally.
Okay. All right. Copper, what do you think?
Yeah, I think people have bad experiences when they try and march troops into Russia. So I don't know how I feel about that, but I definitely think there needs to be some show of force, because people don't take Biden seriously. This administration is laughable. We could at least move ships up into the Black Sea and have a presence larger than, oh, I'm going to be nice and have coffee with Putin.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, yeah, and I don't think coffee with Putin is going to work out any given time. In fact, I would have somebody else try to sip it first. I don't think I'd want to take the first sip of that coffee. All right, well, listen, let me shift gears on you, folks. So I'm going to totally change the subject. Let me throw this out there. We've been talking a lot about school choice this week. You guys both have an educational background that may or may not indicate, you know, school choice. But I'm curious, there's a school choice bill right now in Montgomery that's getting a lot of heat from the teachers union and others. But it's also got a lot of people afraid because it's a new thing. It's basically taking tax dollars. And instead of saying the tax dollars feed the system, your zip code says where you go to school, this bill would say the tax dollars go with the child to wherever the parents or legal guardians want them to go. What are your thoughts on this? Do you see this as being favorable? We got about 2.5 minutes for the break. Copper, you first.
I do think that's a great idea. I mean, my family would have benefited from that growing up. I went to a Christian school, and it was tough paying tuition and taxes at the same time. But I definitely understand why people are nervous about the board that's going to have to approve expenses, and that just opens the door for the government to decide what is and is not okay with homeschoolers, private school, and so on and so forth. I think there needs to be a different policy or more protections in place.
So as a general premise, you like the idea, but you think the bill needs tweaking is kind of what you're saying, right?
Yes.
All right. I'm good with that. Well, I'm good with whatever your answers are, but Birdman, what do you think?
Yeah, I honestly couldn't have put it better myself. I've mulled this over, and I come from a private Christian school background because my parents wanted to put me through a higher education and sacrifice what they had to sacrifice to get me to that point. And it was tough. And I think if I was going through that right now and we had this availability, it would be a whole different conversation. I know the things that happened to get me there, and I'm eternally grateful. And I would love to see something like that happen. But like Copper said, you know, I feel like there may need some tweaks because I do understand the apprehension from the opposition.
All right. Fair enough. All right. Well, tell you what, guys, hang on during the break. We come back. I want to hear what's the stupidest story you guys have seen in the news? Stupidest story that you guys have seen out there in the news lately. And tell me why. I'm enjoying this. Copper and the Birdman are with me right now. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, we're back on right now with two of the staff members who really keep this show moving, and that's Copper and Birdman. Copper does everything to run the board, to answer the phones, to keep the show flowing, making sure all the soundtracks and everything play the way they're supposed to, breaks things down every day into segments for the show, puts them out in a place where Birdman gets hold of them. He uploads them into podcast form, keeps the websites up to date, the Right Side store, helps me with some of the resourcing that I do in the mornings for the show. So these two are really the two who basically keep me moving in the right direction. Much appreciated. All right, listen. Both of yous, I'm going to ask you a question. I mean, we're talking serious news. We talked school choice briefly. We talked about, you know, potential war and Cold War in the Ukraine. Now I want to know, because I know you guys scan the news, and I like the other day, Birdman, you sent me a story that I thought was just unbelievably ridiculous. What is the stupidest story? What is the stupidest story that you have seen? Like, I don't know if it's woke or if it was ridiculous or if it was a sign of ineptitude, but what's the stupidest story you've seen in the news? I'll go to you first, Birdman.
Yeah, I'm actually, that article you were just talking about, I was going to say something with what's going on with the whole Joe Rogan thing, just because that's been insane to me, watching the left just attack him over some ridiculous stuff. But the thing that came out yesterday with Biden's Health and Human Services Department finalizing a $30 million grant program to roll out crack pipes to drug addicts as its harm
crack
reduction
pipes.
Plan. And then they put the cherry on top that it's to advance racial equity. Every single word of that article just sent me into a tailspin.
I'm hoping that you didn't throw things across the room or cause a scene somewhere like in the middle of a restaurant, right? You're okay, right? You're okay?
For the most part, there's no holes in the wall.
So the storyline is that the Biden administration, to promote racial equity, is going to give away free crack pipes. And by the way, this isn't a clean needle exchange. I mean, at least the argument is on the needle exchanges, which I've always disagreed with too, is that they're preventing social diseases by getting clean needles. And these are just crack pipes. Wow.
Yeah, I heard the same argument, and that I'm like you. I understand what they were thinking with the clean needle. Okay, sure. You know what? You have your own opinions. That's fine. This is just a whole new level of stupid that I can't put words to.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny, but it's not funny, ha-ha, is it? I mean, it's just, okay.
Exactly.
Wow. All right, that one ranks pretty high. Copper, can you beat that? What is the stupidest story have you seen? What have you seen?
Well, maybe this one's too serious, but it also got my blood boiling. So here was a piece by a black woman who is complaining about Rihanna's pregnancy being celebrated because apparently black women's pregnancies aren't celebrated enough. Only famous people. And so she had this piece about how nobody cares about black babies. And then she ends by saying that we need to fight for reproductive justice, which, as we know, often includes abortion. So in one moment, she's saying nobody cares about black babies. And then in the next, she's perfectly fine to support abortion, which has shown that while black Americans compose 13.4% of the U.S. population, they account for 36% of all abortions.
Wow. So do you think, you look at that and think, does she really know what she was saying?
Right.
I mean, did she think through her arguments before they came out her mouth is what I want to know.
Yeah, I don't think so. Probably not.
I'm going to go ahead and say not. But yeah, that one. Lord, I don't know which. I mean, I was going to try and pronounce the winner and send a Snickers bar to whichever one of you had the stupidest story. But I don't know that I can pick. Both of those stories recognize what I would consider to be part of the downfall of modern society. That's definitely for sure. All right, you guys, good job, and thanks for the work that you do. I wish Copper, we need to have like an applause soundtrack to be able to play. For you guys, as we close out every time we do Copper and the Birdman.
Although, you should tell us the stupidest story that you've seen lately.
The stupidest story that I've seen lately? Oh my gosh. I wasn't prepared for that. The stupidest story. Actually, the stupidest story I was thinking about was the one that Logan was talking about with the crack pipe. So, yeah, I just took the total cheesy, like, I was going to say that one too, so I don't know what else to do now. But anyway. That would probably rank up there for me as the stupidest story that I have seen in quite some time. Although, I saw one, hang on a second, let me go back to real quick, in the midst of, I can't go that one. I gotta stick with the one that you just gave me. All right, I'm done, you guys. Get back to work. What are you doing? Get back to work, Birdman. Copper, run the board. Do
I'm
something productive. Here we go.
What you're talking about.
I don't have internet.
All right.
Okay.
All right. No more surfing the internet for you. You're done. All right, you guys. Thanks for the work you do. We'll do this again next week.
All right.
All right, folks, you've got Copper and the Birdman. This part of the crew here that makes this show work. And I enjoy their company. They're good at what they do. But they got their own opinions. They got their own notions. Notions, which is what Charlene would say. They got notions. And yes, they do. All right, listen, we're going to move into the next segment here. Before we get into number three on the Triple Dipper, to gerrymander or not to gerrymander, coming up top of the hour here, we got Congressman Mo Brooks, who's running for U.S. Senate, calling in. He just got a major endorsement today. There's been all kinds of speculation that somehow the Trump administration or the Trump camp was losing their love for Mo Brooks. Appears to have been a rumor, an unfounded one at that, because Donald Trump Jr. just issued a major supportive endorsement today of Congressman Mo Brooks. We'll talk with him about that and a few other things that are happening in D.C. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right, dadgummit. We'll be right back.